You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, your bite-sized daily Broncos podcast, keeping it to you within 30 minutes or less, giving you all the news, analysis, and speculation that you could obviously get here in Broncos country as well. And guess what? The Broncos season may be over, but the offseason has just begun. And guess what? For true fans, there is no offseason. We're here every single day on the Locked On Broncos podcast all throughout the entire offseason, bringing you Broncos news, coverage, and analysis. The one-stop shop to get all your Broncos coverage as well. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. I'm an NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. I also do some work as a columnist over at PredominantlyOrange.com.
And I, too, am a columnist over at Predominantly Orange. I am your co-host and partner in crime along with Cody. My name is Cameron Parker. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Parker PO.
Yeah, like I said, a jam-packed episode. A lot of news to cover around the National Football League today with the Denver Broncos, as well as taking a look at some of the performances from Broncos players. As we enter the offseason, it's important that we bring you guys different breakdowns. You know, we'll analyze different position groups as we get throughout the offseason, key areas where the Broncos need. Obviously, anytime there's Broncos news, we are the place to be for rapid reaction over here at Locked On Broncos. So, segment number one of tonight's show, we're going to go through some Broncos daily rundown stuff, some news on the head coaching search, as well as some big, big news on the Pro Football Hall of Fame search for former Denver Broncos. That's segment number one. Segments two and segments three, Cameron and I are going to highlight five players that we picked that really surprised all of us in Broncos country in 2018 with their emergence making an impact for the Broncos on the field. So we're going to bring you all that action right now, and let's get started with the two with our Broncos daily rundown. Now, the Broncos had interviewed head coaching candidate Zach Taylor, Rams quarterbacks coach. They interviewed him yesterday, and they went to him, and you know, I think the thing was is Nicky Jabavala tweeted out something cool that, you know, the jet from, you know, Pat Bowlen's jet wasn't scheduled to leave for a while, so there might have been enough time for a steak dinner for Zach Taylor. But a very promising guy, you know, Orange and Blue 760, if you checked out some of those interviews that they did throughout the day, they're getting ideas on some of these head coaching candidates. And Zach Taylor is prestiged as a very, very smart guy that's a forward thinker that really has the best interest of his players in heart. So, you know, he's an intriguing prospect, a guy with, not a lot of experience, heck, not even a lot of coordinator experience at the National Football League level, mainly as an assistant coach, a position coach, coaching quarterbacks with Jared Goff. He's going to be an interesting prospect. He could be an offensive coordinator candidate, as we talked about. But also the Broncos interviewing Mike Munchak today here in Denver. You know, that's going to be a huge thing. You know, a lot of people, I've seen this, Cam, and I want to know your thoughts on this here in a little bit too, but I've seen a lot of people talk about the retread thing and how Mike Munchak is, you know, why would the Broncos get a guy that was fired as a head coach for the Tennessee Titans? You want a guy with head coaching experience. I mean, you're not always going to get a successful try at being a head coach the first go round. He was a head coach for 3 years for Tennessee. There's obviously a lot of learning and a lot of experience spending the next 5 years after being a head coach as an O-line coach. He's got the intangibles, the experience that the Broncos desperately need. So they're interviewing Mike Munchak today. That's big news for the Broncos. And, you know, I think going forward, you know, the head coaching search is going to be interesting. We're going to have you covered over here at Locked On Broncos. But Cam, you know, let's get to the main part of segment number one here today. And that is, yesterday we found out that Broncos greats, former Denver Broncos, Champ Bailey, the legendary Steve Atwater, and John Lynch, even though he's going in as, you know, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and you could even throw in Ty Law for the year he played in Denver, the 1 year, all those guys were named as modern era finalists for the 2019 Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I could tell you this, Champ Bailey, Steve Atwater, all very deserving. You know, and I want to say it's almost a travesty, it's almost a shame that it's taken this long for Steve Atwater to be named a finalist. You know, he's, I guarantee if he played in Dallas, he played in New York, back when he was playing, he would already be in the Hall of Fame running. He'd already have a bust in Canton, but, you know, better late than never. You know, and unfortunately for the Broncos, another legendary player for them got snubbed in Carl Mecklenburg, and, you know, the albino Rhinos still continuing to try to figure out how to get in. I felt like it's just frustrating. It's disappointing from a Broncos standpoint because that guy was ruthless. He was absolutely ruthless, and there are many Broncos players, Cam. I could go on a rant for days about which Broncos players have been snubbed or not getting the proper look to get in the Hall of Fame, but you know what? 2019 could be a very great year for the Broncos with Champ Bailey, Steve Atwater, John Lynch, and hopefully, I just don't see the scenario where he isn't finally inducted in the Hall of Fame, Broncos owner Pat Bowlen.
Yeah, and that was the final cherry on top is that it was official today that Pat Bowlen was named the contributor finalist, and along with he and Gil Brandt. The Steve Atwater thing is a little bit interesting because you and I and all our comrades over at Predominantly Orange did that fantastic feature where we did all the top all time, you know, Denver Bronco greats, and Carl Mecklenburg was on that list, and Steve Atwater was on that list, Champ Bailey was on that list, and you know, I think it's very unfortunate to not have a guy like a Carl Mecklenburg on the finalist ballot. And, you know, and I understand the notoriety, the Super Bowl championships and everything. And, but it's just like, you know, you cannot ignore certainly the production on the field. And there may not have been a more, at his time, there may not have been a more versatile player than Carl Mecklenburg, having the capability to be an outside linebacker, be a defensive end, you know, and I just think that you rarely see that, you know, anymore. Well, you see that more frequently now. And I think that, you know, it's certainly for the Broncos' sake, it's just it's something that they've really enjoyed when Carl Mecklenburg was there. It's unfortunate that he just cannot get that type of recognition, you know, to go past it and be elected in the Hall of Fame. And with Steve Atwater, you know, you kind of touched a little bit on it with Atwater. The one thing, too, that was fantastic about Steve Atwater was that I don't think many people realize, and maybe they do now, but he really was the Cam Chancellor before Cam Chancellor. I mean, he revolutionized that type of safety position, that big-bodied safety, you know, who is just going to absolutely set the tone for a game and be the thumper at safety that the Broncos absolutely needed on defense. So I think I think Steve Atwater, it seems like he might be gaining a lot of traction to get in along with Champ Bailey. So I think that, let's just say for sake of argument, now granted, you touched a little bit about Pat Bowlen with the contributor, he did eclipse a massive hurdle by being a contributor finalist. So there certainly opens the door for Pat Bowlen to get in, but we'll see. If Pat Bowlen gets in, does that open the door for a lot of those guys like a Steve Atwater, you know, or maybe even Champ Bailey as a first ballot Hall of Famer?
When we even forget about guys like Randy Gratishar as well, another guy that is well deserving of getting in there. I mean, there's so many Broncos greats, and I think we can allude back to that Predominantly Orange piece we did with the, I believe it was the top 50 Broncos players of all time. I mean, that right there was huge. You know, this Broncos organization has a ton of talented players, both modern and from back in the olden days, where these guys do deserve Hall of Fame status. And Champ Bailey has a chance to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, Steve Atwater, well overdue with being in there. But I kind of want to allude to one thing. I think Cam Chancellor, it was a different, he's a different version. You know, I'd say Steve Atwater. Cam Chancellor became a version of what Steve Atwater was instead of Steve Atwater being Cam Chancellor, because Cam's a great player, but I tell you what, Steve Atwater was so fun to watch. And if you go back to when he played, honestly, watching him from his technique, his ability to stop the run, cover in the pass game, he truly, in my honest opinion, could be considered one of the greatest safeties of all time, one of the best players I've ever watched play on film. You know, stuff like that, when you get a chance to get to watch old film, old games with Steve Atwater, it's just different. The National Football League was different. He was a true, true player in the scheme of all things. So that's definitely special. The Broncos hoping to get these guys into the Pro Football Hall of Fame to have more greats alongside Terrell Davis and John Elway and many, many other Broncos greats going forward. Here in segment number two, we're going to get into talking about which five Broncos players surprised all of us in 2018. All right, getting into our kind of season overview, we like to take a little, you know, a few special segments, a few topics of interest and talk about them exclusively here in Locked On Broncos. And really, I thought the perfect idea would be to do five Broncos players that surprised all of us in the year 2018. And we have our five players here. I'm not going to name them off right now. You're just going to get them as we go. So we're going to do this here in segments two and segments number three. But Cam, our first guy here, I don't want to technically say I'm surprised because of the status, the type of player he is. I just want to say year in and year out, he continues to surprise me with what he's able to do production-wise. And our first guy here is Von Miller. Now, Von Miller has been such a special player for the Broncos. Let's go back to his rookie year. His rookie year, he had 11.5 sacks. He followed that up the next year with an amazing 18.5 sack type of season. And he really, each year that he's been a player, he sets the bar higher. Now, in 2013, the year he tore his ACL, he had 5 sacks. I mean, there were so many games he missed out on where he could have had another, you know, double-digit sack. So really, in Von Miller's career, he has this element to him where he has 10-plus sacks in each of his seasons, except that asterisk where he tore his ACL in 2013. And this recent year, 2018, he followed it up with a 14.5 sack year, when 2017, he had a 10-sack season. And I believe that was second to last to the, I want to say the Atlanta Falcons player that was there. I mean, just having another double-digit sack season for Von Miller puts him at 98 total career sacks. And he's been one of the fastest players to ever get to that kind of status. He's 2 sacks away from 100. But when I look at Von Miller, the track that he was on this year was phenomenal. He continues to impress me. And a lot of people say, oh, he's just a pass rusher. Von Miller is one of the best run-stopping outside linebackers in all of pro football. He really, really is. If you go back and you watch the film, you know, the stats don't always show that. And he's also evolved to be a guy that, even at the line of scrimmage, can be a guy that scares opposing quarterbacks in terms of throwing him the ball. We saw it with Phillip Rivers throwing that screenplay to him. He intercepted it, ran 42 yards the other way. But, you know, here's the thing I want to factor in. Von Miller has 98 total sacks in his career. He has 196 quarterback hits. He gets to the quarterback very, very often. And this year, he got to the quarterback 26 times and hitting him. That is huge for any player. And, you know, a lot of people want to make these comparisons between him, Khalil Mack, and Aaron Donald. I just think it's different. Aaron Donald's a phenomenal defensive lineman, a D-tackle. To what he did this year, at 20.5 sacks, unbelievable, unheard of. But the real surprise is how Von Miller, year in and year out, as he gets older, continues to still maintain that high level of production.
Yeah, I think for Von Miller, the one area that just continues to amaze me, well, I guess it's really two areas. You know, I sort of equate it to basketball in some ways. You were talking about sack production and how he always has recorded 10 sacks, 10 consecutive sack seasons. You know, I mean, that's in essence, like, by basketball standards, recording 10 points for a consecutive straight amount of time. I remember back when Melo did it. I can't remember the streak that he had, but it was rather impressive. It's sort of that same ilk. It's way more impressive when you can get double-digit win or double-digit sacks for a very lengthy amount of time. But so that's one area. The largest area that I continue to be so amazed with, and it's sort of rolled into one, I should say one area, but how intellectually smart Von Miller really is. And if you think about you just how far he continues to grow in aptitude and his knowledge of the playbook, knowledge of the game, it just continues to amaze you every single season. You know, him intercepting a pass off of that screenplay by Phillip Rivers, something us as Bronco fans hadn't really seen, or us in Bronco country or people in Bronco country hadn't really seen a lot of with Von Miller. We've seen him drop back in coverage maybe a little bit mostly, but I think that with Von Miller, that's been the most impressive part, is that in the weirdest moments when he probably should not have been dropped into coverage, or, you know, he still affects the game in some ways. But if he was used solely as a pass rusher, or just solely in run stopping and being a pass rusher, he would have who knows how many amount of quarterback pressures, hits, you know, what have you, in sacks. You know, and obviously sort of falls into one of our other surprises, you know, with the rookie that was the fifth overall draft pick as well.
And that leads us to our next guy here, and Bradley Chubb is our next surprise player of 2018. He really didn't get it going this year until that Rams game, which came about week six in the National Football League. Combine that between there, you know, he had one sack against the Baltimore Ravens, half a sack against the Seahawks, but, you know, he had three consecutive games where he didn't register a single sack, and then against the Rams, against Jared Goff in the NFL's highest scoring offense this year, he had three sacks, and it was very impressive because Jared Goff in that Rams offense was such quick hitting. He followed up a three-sack game with a two-sack game against the Arizona Cardinals. He finished the year overall with 12 sacks on the season for a rookie, for a guy that really didn't turn it on until week six. Getting 12 sacks at that point, that has to make you wonder a little bit, man. What would have happened if he would have turned it on, let's say, week two or week four against the Chiefs or week five against the Jets, where the Broncos didn't really play that well in the first place? But imagine if he turned it on a little bit. I mean, for him as a rookie to come in and start every game at outside linebacker, being the fifth pick, he's been huge. And not only that, too, he had the ability to strip sack. We've seen him do that. He's learned a lot. He's more so the power rush guy rather than the speed rush. Von Miller is the speed rush guy, the guy that can contort his body around the edge. Bradley Chubb is the guy that's going to stick his hand in the shoulder of the tackle, push him back, drive him down for contact, and make a play. And even, you know, I think the tutelage of both Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware for Bradley Chubb, that's been huge. To finish your rookie season with 12 sacks, just 2.5 from tying Yvonne Curse's rookie record, that is amazing in and of itself. And not only that, you know, he had 14 tackles for a loss, and he had 21 quarterback hits. So he was getting there. The Broncos defense was one of the bright spots for them this year. But, you know, for a guy to be a rookie and to come in and make that kind of production opposite of Von Miller, to come in and beat out a guy like Shane Ray or even veteran Shaquille Barrett, that was very, very promising to me when I look at the potential development of what Bradley Chubb could be. That, to me, stands out tremendously for a guy like Bradley Chubb.
I think for Bradley Chubb, the thing that was so fascinating, you touched a little bit on it and sort of alluded to it. He almost had 14 and a half sacks with the overall season, but he turned it on in that Los Angeles Rams game. That was his breakout game, and it was a huge breakout game. A lot of those young stars have those breakout games as far as first-round draft picks. He had against the Los Angeles Rams against a very stout left tackle in Andrew Whitworth, and he made him look like he was wearing tutus the entire game. But that's been the most impressive thing with Bradley Chubb, is that had it come together for a full season, honestly, who knows how many sort of sack totals or pressures or what have you, the type of way that he would have affected a game from start to finish, from week one to week, you know, 17. It would have been pretty, pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really would have been. And you have to factor in, too, you know, he's a tremendous candidate. I think he's a very valuable and, I would say, ideal candidate to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, you know, but the guy in Darius Leonard in Indianapolis has been playing phenomenal football. Outside of that, I mean, he is the best pass-rushing rookie in the National Football League right now, and him and Von Miller were the best pass-rushing duo at outside linebacker in the National Football League this year with the production that they both had amongst each other. I mean, it's just very, very special when you get that kind of production from two players off the edge, and we've seen in the NFL how important pass rushers are, and Bradley Chubb is a rookie. He matched that, and he became much more. He exceeded any expectation, in my honest opinion, that I had for him coming into the 2018 season. That's why he's a surprise player, and we're going to get to the rest of our surprise players in our final segment of tonight's show coming up in just a second. In segment number three, we're going to feature a rookie and a couple of scrappy guys you probably didn't think of. All right, our next guy in our series where we're talking about five players that really surprised us this season with the Denver Broncos. This guy is a rookie. He came out of nowhere, undrafted. Didn't even, you know, he had all the odds stacked against him, and he came into the National Football League, and he made a name for himself right away, and that's Philip Lindsay. That is the, you know, Domantas Peko calls him the pit bull. You know, a lot of guys call him the Tasmanian devil back when his college days at CU. He's a guy that is the energizer bunny, the Energizer Bunny for this Broncos team. And let's think about it this way, too. The year he had as a rookie, 192 rushing attempts, over 1,000 yards rushing. He averaged 5.4 yards per carry, 10 total touchdowns altogether, 1,200 total all-purpose yards. He was a guy that was so valuable to this Broncos team. And when they lost him in that last stretch for Week 17, I mean, it was evident. It was evident that they missed out on that production that they could have had against the Los Angeles Chargers. The rest of the game for the Raiders game, I mean, just however, I felt as if teams started to figure out later on as the year went by that, look, we know how to stop this guy. You know, they don't have many other options when Emmanuel Sanders got hurt or Demaryius Thomas got traded. Royce Freeman was dealing with a high ankle sprain, but, you know, he was this guy where Royce Freeman was the starter. And Royce Freeman would be that power inside runner, and then here would come Phillip Lindsay, and he would just gash him on the outside, and he couldn't, NFL defenses couldn't stop him for a long time. So for him to finish the season with over 1,000 yards rushing, I mean, his breakout game, he had two amazing games back-to-back this year. You know, we go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers game, he had over 110 yards rushing, and then he followed that up the week later against the Bengals with 157 yards rushing, breaking off a huge 60-yard run for a touchdown. For me, I look at what Phillip Lindsay did this year for the Broncos, and being an underdog the way he was, being 5'8", being a guy that's had to scrap for everything, I got overlooked by 32 NFL teams, including the Broncos. This is a guy that came out of nowhere, and not only is he a surprise player, he surprised the entire National Football League, and he definitely has some strong consideration for Offensive Rookie of the Year, which, you know, I think is going to go to Saquon Barkley just due to New York being a bigger market despite them being a not as good football team as Denver. I just don't think that, you know, the bias, the voting that we're going to see, I don't think it's going to favor Phillip Lindsay. But you know what, for him to get elected to a Pro Bowl, that is huge. Very excited for Phillip Lindsay and what he was able to accomplish. That's why he's a surprise player.
You know, and actually by NFL on Fox, which they asked the fans, who is the Offensive Rookie of the Year? They said Phillip Lindsay. I was pretty impressed with that, and I believe they shared that yesterday. Yeah, Phillip Lindsay, you will be hard-pressed to convince me otherwise who was the best story of the National Football League. When it came to Phillip Lindsay, you'll be hard pressed to try and convince me otherwise. Phillip Lindsay was the best story in the NFL, everything from being undrafted, even before that, not getting an invite to the combine, not getting drafted, you know, everything, even from his high school days into college. I mean, just his overall story, living with his parents, you know, in his first season, and maybe even beyond a little bit. I think that that's been the most impressive part. And the fact that he's been able to carry a Chris Harris type of personality. And I wasn't insane, people, when I made that comparison, that Hot Take Tuesday segment, where I said that there's that type of Chris Harris personality with Phillip Lindsay. That is the type of personality that you can win with. That's the type of personality that can change games. That's the type of personality that Phillip Lindsay presents. He's a dynamic player with the football in his hands. Unfortunately, you know, the I think the team just decided, other teams decided that to commit to stopping the run, to force Case Keenum to beat you, which ended up being a recipe for disaster. And obviously with the high ankle sprain of Royce Freeman, that affected a lot of things, because that was the dynamic duo of rookie backs that also was surprising too. So if we were to throw in some honorable mentions, I will also throw in a little bit of Royce Freeman.
Yeah, I agree. Royce Freeman, his value, I mean, those two were a very scary running back tandem, and what we saw for the potential from these guys really revealed in that loss to Kansas City on Monday Night Football in Denver. They both ran for, you know, over, you know, close to over 160 yards combined between the both of them. That was very special to see, just both of them having two touchdowns each. The Broncos still at this point lost that game to the Chiefs 27-23 Monday Night Football, and you had to figure what would have happened if Denver stuck to the run more in that game between both Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. I'd say honorable mention, yeah, absolutely Royce Freeman. But another guy that really did surprise me this year, Cam, and I'm not going to spend too much time here because we're pressed against the clock, is Andy Janovich. I tell you what, Andy Janovich is a Swiss Army knife. And you want to know why? He does a little bit of everything for the Broncos. And you know, people want to say the fullback position is dying in the National Football League. Andy Janovich has proved multiple times over and over again that there's still a need. And that tight, you know, whether you flex him out to a tight end type position or a wing position, or you put him out at fullback, he's going to make plays happen. And you want to know why? I mean, think about it this way. Andy Janovich, you want to know what his average yard per reception was in 2018 for the Broncos? He averaged 14 yards per catch for the Broncos out of the backfield. We saw him score on a touchdown route, on a wheel route against the LA Chargers here. And then we also saw him, you know, catch an amazing football against the Kansas City Chiefs on that Monday night football game when the Broncos were driving late. He had a 32-yard reception. And, you know, they're utilizing him out of the backfield a little bit more and more, which was great because you'd find Andy Janovich in the flat on an arrow route. He'd catch the ball maybe about 2 yards from the line of scrimmage, and then he would run for about 8. He'd run for about 7. He'd run for almost maybe 10, and he'd lower the shoulder on Vontaze Burfict, so on and so forth. I love Andy Janovich. I think he's been very huge. He didn't really get many opportunities rushing the football, but I can tell you what, you look at Phillip Lindsay's production, you look at Royce Freeman's production, a lot of that came because of Andy Janovich getting up on the inside and taking out an inside linebacker, attacking that shoulder and creating seams for Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman to run. Andy Janovich deserves a lot of respect and a lot of validation. And guess what? That's why he's a surprise player from the Locked On Broncos podcast. And then our next guy here, another guy that really just kind of, he's been that guy that's kind of been hiding. You know, you don't see too much from him on game days, but when he makes a play, you notice it because it tends to be a big play, and that's big Shelby Harris, man. I've been very impressed with him. I thought back in 2017 when he was playing with the Broncos, he did a lot of things. He had 5.5 sacks in 2017. He didn't match that production here in 2018. However, he did find himself in position to make several plays, and when he did, he made some big plays. He finished the year with 1.5 sacks, but he also had that very critical interception against Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was huge. He against the San Francisco 49ers, you know, all throughout the season, he was a guy on the D-line that was very disruptive. He would generate pressure. Let's go back to Ben Roethlisberger's pass, the 97-yard catch and run for Juju Smith-Schuster, the long touchdown run. Shelby Harris blew up an all-pro center, hit Ben Roethlisberger as soon as he released the ball. I mean, you have to factor in, too, that was such a quick get-up by Shelby Harris. You almost had to wonder, man, what if Ben Roethlisberger didn't have a chance to throw that football? It ends up being a safety, or maybe Ben Roethlisberger fumbles it and the Broncos maybe recover in the end zone for a touchdown. All these things, you know, you have to factor in as the what-if game. But the Steelers drove down the field, and Ben Roethlisberger tried to do that RPO-type play, fake the handoff inside to James Conner, and look to dump it to Antonio Brown coming across the middle. And guess what? Shelby Harris just dropped back. He dropped back, and he intercepted it. It was a huge week for him. He just had his daughter that was born, you know, days prior. So Shelby Harris, a guy that really surprised me. I felt as if when the Broncos are talking about some D-line depth, I think he's a guy that didn't get enough playing time, in my honest opinion, going back and just seeing what he did when he did make plays. When he was on the field, he made plays, he stood out, and you know, he's a guy that I like to watch stop the run. He's a guy I like watching get to the quarterback. He's got a good personality, really kind to the media. But he's a guy that when he was on the field, he made the most of every play that he had. And that'll do it here for our Locked On Broncos episode here on today, Friday. Happy Friday. Hope you guys all enjoy it. We'll keep you up to date with the latest news, coverage, and analysis. If the Broncos decide to make a decision hiring a coach, I guarantee you it won't come right away. There's still some candidates that they will interview. You can still have, you know, Vic Fangio coming up as well for them. Brian Flores on Saturday. The Broncos plan on interviewing him for their head coaching position. You know, so we're going to keep you posted over here at Locked On Broncos. We had a huge week over here on the show. And on Thursday, we had a massive 1,500 downloads of the Locked On Broncos podcast. That's huge, guys. I mean, if we average 1,500 downloads per episode, per day, every day that we do it, every month, I mean, we could honestly average close to 30,000, 32,000 downloads per month, and we can only do that with the continued support of the avid, amazing listeners of the Locked On Broncos podcast. The offseason may have been here for the Broncos, but guess what? True fans, there is no offseason. We are grinded. We're putting out shows every single day over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast just for you, the listeners of the show. We appreciate you guys for all your continued support. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter @LockedOnBroncos and leave a review on iTunes for the Locked On Broncos Broncos podcast. Leave a review, leave your Twitter handle in that review, and you'll be entered into every single contest giveaway. Starting next month, we're giving away a Broncos-related gift every single month, all year long at the Lockdown Broncos podcast, and you can generate an automatic entry just by leaving a review and leaving your Twitter handle. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, speaking for my co-host, Cameron Parker. We'll see you on Monday for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast.